I wept like a baby. I never thought I would be here. I'm glad I had a few minutes alone, for I was really good at being alone. My part in the abolition of my marriage was living in emotional and spiritual isolation from a deep-seated fear, anxiety, and anger that produced heart and mind that strove to control and manipulate all that was around me. I believe that if I could control all the processes in my life, then I could control the outcomes. Totally destructive. Also, I attempted to use the shallow and empty comfort of pornography to feel better. Absolutely stupid. In my relationships with family and others, there was a ruthless but passive-aggressive competitor inside that could not lose. Losing or failure meant being insignificant and worthless. So as a result, I participated in snuffing the life out of my marriage and created an emotional distance from my four children. Simply put, I failed to nurture my wife and my kids the way God intended. I lived with my emotional bags packed, ready to flee, thinking with full conviction that if I was truly known, all around me would reject me. I was a pickin' mess. It's been 6 years. I still weep over the loss of dreams and what could have been. And the occasional tsunami of emotion is still intense. But I'm certain that even that is an important part of my healing. Being asked to share, I reflected on my journey through this grief process, and there are four things I've learned to accept and I want to share with you. First, I accepted and accepting that I need to heal, not just feel better. Grieving and mourning the loss is a huge part of my healing. I was challenged by an individual to study the 10 commands in James chapter 4, 7 through 10. Commands 1 through 3, submit to the Lord, resist the devil, draw near to God. The next two commands, cleanse your hands, purify your heart. And then the next four commands, mourn, be miserable, weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. So mourning, sorrow, weeping, pain, melancholy, and grief is a crucial part of this process. It's taken longer than I thought, but I'm learning the value of their importance in healing. But still, there's this steady tension to strive to just feel better. If I could just feel better, then I would be over this. I would be healed, right? Pitifully naive. I remember thinking during the darkest days, it'd be so much better if I could medicate the pain or change my job or move somewhere new or find a new relationship, but nothing could be further from the truth. Feeling better is a result. It is not the process. I really thought that moving through the pain of divorce as quickly as possible would be the key. However, it is not the best thing. I just needed to grieve, and I needed to grieve well. And by the way, there's no timetable. No one could say to me, okay, just stop grieving, Jim, and let it go. Only God can do that, and you'll know it when it happens. You'll see that in the last command in James chapter 4, verse 10. So the second thing I've learned to accept, accepting that my relationship with Christ is the only thing that can truly heal me. I put demands on my marriage that God never intended. Make me feel significant. Make me happy. Give me worth. Give me purpose. Increase my self-esteem. Meet my needs, etc., etc. I felt most significant when I had someone to fix. In fact, to my shame, I felt most happy when my wife was most miserable. Her happiness meant that I was not needed. Pretty sick. A significant change in my thinking was needed in order to heal. You think? Jesus said, abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15. My worth, my value, my esteem needs to be found in Christ, seeing myself as he sees me. The third thing I've learned to accept, accepting that God hates divorce but loves reconciliation. I needed to think biblically. So where am I going from here? If I understand God's heart correctly, that he hates divorce, but his heart is for reconciliation, and though my marriage is over, I must stay ready and open to reconcile it. And right now, I'm in the healing process of reconciling a friendship with the person I used to be married to. I've made amends to her, each of my kids, and I'm currently a region leader, so that I can continue to pursue that self-awareness and dependence on Christ. And all of this is done in a community of believers that know me and love me. And oh, they will wound me when necessary. As the proverb says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. The fourth thing I've learned to accept, that God holds the future, I don't. This was a toughie. You see, my significance was wrapped up in being married and having four compliant kids, for the most part. And oh yeah, a dog. Losing that was losing everything, I thought. But I learned to believe in my heart and mind that God was going to redeem this nightmare for his glory. And I confess, I do not know what that looks like entirely. And I've had to become resolved that it may look different than I want it to look. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves were comforted by God." God will use my failure for his glory. Jeremiah writes in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 18, "I went to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled." And that word spoiled could mean corrupt, perverted, broken. It was spoiled in the potter's hand. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, to Jeremiah, "Can I not deal with you as the potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." God is in the business of redeeming and remaking lives. Man, there was a tremendous amount of encouragement in my heart when I embraced that truth, finally. But at times, I regress and desperately pray for God to join in on what I think is best. I claim Jeremiah 29:11, which I'm sure you have too, where God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." But what I was really praying when I read those verses was this: "Oh God, I know the plans that I have for me, plans for my future and my hope. Oh God, please bless them." How presumptuous is that? God wants to heal me. And he will heal me in his time. There are things I must accept, things I must begin to see clearly in order to heal. There's a familiar nursery rhyme that I've added to that helps me understand how God works. It goes like this: Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But God can. But he never promises to put Humpty Dumpty back on the wall. Don't you love Isaiah 57:15, where God says, "I dwell on a high and holy place, and I also dwell with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." God is for me. He wants to bless me. And God is for you. In summary, I will say with full conviction that I would not be doing well in recovery or this healing process apart from abiding with Christ in the context of community. I'm beginning to consistently accept that I need to heal, not just to get through the pain, that my relationship with Christ is the only thing that can truly heal me, that God hates divorce, but he loves reconciliation, and that God holds the future, and I don't. Our hope for healing is in Christ. St. Augustine's words encouraged me as he reflected on his journey through recovery. He says, "How sweet all at once it was to be rid of those fruitless joys which I once feared to lose. You, Jesus, drove them from me. You who are true, my sovereign joy. You, Jesus, drove them from me and took their place. You who are sweeter than all pleasure." There is hope for you and me, my dear brothers and sisters. I pray that God blesses you in this precious and painful time of your life. And remember that all things drive us to Him. Thank you for letting me share.